Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to Do Not Make Me Come Back There. Yes, I don't do contractions. Do Not Make Me Come Back There is how I call this podcast. Do Not Make Me Come Back There. I am the co-host of the aforementioned podcast. My name is Stephen Carl Thomas English, the first of my name. And I guarantee you, I will be the last of my name because that name, I'm coming to realize, it kind of sucks. It's stupid. It's a dumb name. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. It seems pompous. Stephen Carl Thomas thing. It's too long. It's like you get halfway through and you're like, are you still going? You got two more names left? It's just a lot of syllables in there. I really hate it. So I will be the last person ever named this in the history of the world. So that's cool. I'm doing the intro again. I'm flying solo. Flying solo. The baby bird has left the nest. I'm on my own. And I'm soaring on my own wings right now because Dustin is still traveling with his family through the Rocky Mountains, and I hope it goes better than that Donner Party. I really do, because I gotta say, out of the whole family, I think only Dustin's worth eating. You know, the kids are too small. They're gonna, you know, the kids aren't good eating. I gotta assume kids aren't good eating. So you kind of like that's they're out. Melissa, she's in such good shape. I feel like she's like all muscle. It'd be like beef. She'd be like beef jerky. You know, she's so hard with muscles, you know? So Dustin would be actually, now I'm thinking about it. I'm getting a little hungry thinking about it because Dustin I think would be good. He'd have a lot of marbling, you know, he'd be nice and tender. You put him in a slow cooker, make some carnitas, some Dustinitas with them. Okay. All right. Enough about eating my friend and his family eating his friend. Let's just get down to brass tacks. This week we have a very funny episode and a very funny interview with the very, very funny Jackie Fabulous. Jackie Fabulous, you saw her last year on America's Got Talent. She is a lawyer, writer, actress, podcaster, relatable with Jackie Fabulous. And comedian, and she does it all. She's also, let's do some lies now. She's also a power lifter. She got the bronze at the Seoul Olympics. She's also a refrigerator repair woman. And she's one more lie. She's from Paris, France. but she's great. She's fantastic. She's very funny. She had a very funny bit about, The Biggest Loser on our AGT sets. And I'm looking forward to listening to the episode because I haven't listened to it yet. and I'm excited that you guys get to listen to the episode here coming up very soon. You can find her on all the socials at Jackie Fabulous, just how it sounds, J-A-C-K-I-E Fabulous. And her website is JackieFabulous.com. So check her out if she's going to be in your area soon. This is our second AGT comedian that's gone really far, you know, outside of Vicky Barbalak. We are just racking up the AGT alumni. I'm loving it right now. I'm loving where we're at. I'm loving where you guys are at. I'm loving that you guys are listening to this podcast. And I just want to just very quickly just mention patreon.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere for as little as $5 a month. You can support the podcast. It really does mean the world to us, especially in this time where a lot of Dustin's gigs are getting canceled. It's really cool for anyone who can, and I totally appreciate this podcast will be free forever, and I appreciate anybody who can. If you can spare a little bit of money to support the podcast, we would really appreciate it, and we'd love you for it. Again, that's patreon.com/don'tmakemecomebackthere for full video of the Zoom interviews that he does, so like of the episode you're listening to now. You can get see a full video of it, and also interview reviews where Dustin kind of goes over an interview once a month and kind of gives you an idea of his approach to it, some things he didn't ask that he wish he would have asked, and kind of his thinking going into it and through the episode, like kind of moments where, you know, he learned things. And it's just kind of cool because it gives you a little bit behind the scenes look into his preparation for the podcast. Again, that is patreon.com/don't make me come back there. I'm not going to lie to you. This is like the, like probably at least the 12th time I've tried doing this intro. I'm feeling a little off. I've been, there's a lot of things in my mind. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I kind of some big changes in my life. As some of you guys who are listeners for a long time might know, my wife was pregnant with our second child. And I say was in the past tense because she's no longer pregnant, because that baby just came out. That baby just decided he was going to come early. He came at 29 and a half weeks. And for every woman who heard that, who has a baby, you're thinking, oh, you know exactly how many weeks early that is. You know, for every man who's had a baby who heard 29 and a half weeks, you have no idea. You have no idea. You probably are looking it up right now. How many weeks for a baby? Question mark. You know, I have a baby. We just went through this. So the baby was born, the new baby, whose name is Elgin. Elgin, hi, nam, English. So he was born on July 29th. Our first son, Bach Arthur English, also first of his name. He was born July 31st of last year. So for 48 hours, we had two children under 1 year old that were not twins, which is kind of wild, to be honest with you. It's a little wild of a thing to happen. I just went through this literally less than a year ago, the first pregnancy, and I was asking like multiple times throughout the whole, even like right before it happened, I was like, hey, can you remind me real quick, how early is this? Because I forgot. I kept forgetting. It is 40 weeks. It's 40 weeks is normal, but full term is 37 weeks. I already forgot what they consider full term. I think it's 37 weeks, but the average is 40 weeks. I don't know. Oh man. If you ask me in 6 months, I will have no idea. I'll have zero reference point. I'll probably just guess and say 16 weeks. I don't know. But he is. So Elgin did come a little early, but the great news is that he is like legit rocking it out right now. He is surpassing all of the milestones he needs to do. He was never got intubated. He was on the CPAP, like a thing to like push oxygen into him just for like one day. Now he's on a cannula and they're going to take that off very soon. He's almost back up to his birth weight very, very quickly. He's just, he really is like killing it like on every single level. So I'm proud of him. It's funny. It feels weird to be proud of somebody, of a baby who's like, I mean, really, if you look at him, he's not really doing anything. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he's very strong. He's very healthy, but like, really, he didn't win the bronze in powerlifting. Like Jackie Fabulous, our guest Jackie Fabulous did. He's never made it. He can't even make it to the, I mean, honestly, if he was on America's Got Talent, he wouldn't even make it to the live shows. Do you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have any skills right now, but I am very proud of him still. And that's just how being a parent is. It's loving a kid and being proud of them. no matter what. And it's a great feeling. It really is. One quick story from this whole thing. If you've had a premature baby, or you just, anybody in your family, has had one, you know, it is a stressful time. I mean, thankfully we live in a city. We live in San Diego. We live in the heart of San Diego. We are 12 minutes from our door to the door of, this hospital called Mary Birch. It is 12 minutes. So we have world-class care for this baby right now in this NICU. It's one of the best NICUs in the world. You know, going into it that it's going to be okay, but you know, there's still that, you know, there's still that thing in the back of your mind where you're like, I don't know, you know, it's like, what's going on? Again, I'm so stupid. I don't even know how early this baby is. I don't know if, you know, it's a very stressful time, especially right in that first 24 hours. It can be very, very stressful. And NICUs, they are noisy places. NICU stands for neonatal intensive care unit. It's where all like the premature babies go, or any babies that have kind of like problems at birth. It is, you would think, you know, all these like tiny 3 pound, 4 pound, 2 pound babies, sometimes you think that they would want to put them in like this real hushed, like it'd be like a library almost, you know, everyone just walk around like, shh, don't say anything. No, it is the noisiest place. It is crazy noisy. There is everything's beeping, everything bloop, 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 bloop. I mean, there's stuff going on left and right. It is just, it's crazy how loud it is in there. And then there's, you know, there's babies crying, there's people talking, and like people call, it's just, it is, it's nuts, you know. So you're kind of like thrown, especially the first time you're in there, you're thrown off. People, things are beeping. Any beep that happens, I'm looking at the monitor for our baby and being like, yo, what do any of these numbers mean? What's that number right there? That says 10:02. And they're like, sir, it's 10:02 in the morning. That's just the time. You're like, okay, cool. I get that one. I get that one. But it's very disorienting. So the first day, 24 hours after the baby was born, it was the first time that Dorothy was able to go down to see the baby. And so we are going down there. They're throwing all this stuff at you, you know, like saying, here's what we need, you know. It's just, there's a lot of information you're getting, and you're still, you know, your emotions are high, and you're kind of like trying to take it all in. And it's fun. That's what the thing I like. The thing with me and Dorothy, what I really love is that we have a good time. We laugh so much, and we find any opportunity to laugh. So in this really stressful time, there was my blood type. Me and Elgin are the same blood type, so they're going to take my blood to bank it in case they need a transfusion. You know, very very much just in case. So while we're down there, the phlebotomist comes down there, and I don't know. So it's weird to go from, so the NICU nurses, these people are like high, like the NICU nurses and doctors and everybody. These are like high level. These are like the best, cream of the crop, as far as nursing and it goes. And a lot of the doctors, you know, this is like really high stress, high level, like healthcare going on. And all these people are like super on it. And they're just like, blah, blah, blah. They're so good. They're easy to talk to. And they're like, you look at them, you're like, man, I like you. I like what you do. You're amazing. And then they send this phlebotomist down to take my blood. And it was like the first person like out of in this time that I was kind of like, yo, I don't know about this person, man. Like I was real like, yo, let me see your like certs. Let me see your certifications, man. Cause she just looked kind of weird. She didn't look weird. Like she didn't physically look weird. She just looked like she was a weird person, you know? And, we're just sitting there and, she's kind of just, there's like a little bit of like time while they're like, you know, they're waiting to get some paperwork done. So she's just standing next to the bed. And again, this is within 24 hours of the baby being born. Dorothy has not even seen really the baby that much. It's like in like the encapsulated bed. And, there's wires everywhere. You know, we're kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you could tell it's kind of a little bit tense. You know, we're not like crying or anything like that. We're just kind of, you know, we can tell we're a little bit tense, but we're just, you know, we're chilling. And the girl's just sitting there. She's staring at us, you know, and it's kind of like awkward. Cause we're like, yo, like, can you just like, I mean, I don't know where I want you to go, but can you just like, while we're waiting for this stuff, can you just like at least turn your back or something? I don't know. Read a book, get your phone out or something. But she's just staring. And I can see the gears turning in her head. She's like, all right, I'm going to say something. So she walks over. She walks a couple steps more closer, and she goes, oh, how much did he weigh when he was born? Simple question, easy question, layup question. So far, so good. And we told him, she's like, she was 3 pounds, 3 ounces. She goes, without missing a beat, she straight goes, oh, wow, that's how much my dog was when I got him. And it was like, yo, what? I mean, what? And then I don't know if she expected a follow up, like, oh, cool, what kind of dog? It was just like, I don't know. I don't remember what we said in that situation. I think we both said, okay, cool, or something like that. I think we just kind of just said, okay, kind of just signaling like, hey, you know what? Like, thanks. Nice try. Thanks for trying, but you failed in this interaction. You came in with the plan, and it was a bad plan, and you didn't do it. Read the room right now. Like, what do you see going on in front of you that you thought equating this baby to your dog that you got was appropriate, or that's something we wanted to hit, like something we cared about? I don't care about your dog. I don't care if you have 1,000 dogs. I don't care if you have zero. I don't care if you've never seen a dog in your life right now. Like, why are you talking to me about your dog? I don't say none of that. And I think she kind of got the drift that it was kind of like, but maybe she didn't, honestly. I don't know. Cause she didn't seem like it fazed her at all. Didn't she? Didn't like, you know, like when you say something and you wish you could have taken, you could see you in your face immediately. You're like, that was bad. I failed at the conversation. She didn't have none of that on her face, but I don't know. Maybe she was thinking, But anyways, the minute she left, I mean, we just started cracking up, man. So it actually, honestly, I don't know if she was like a plant. Maybe they just like sent her there and they're like, hey man, say something really awkward to like break the tension, because then it's gonna help these people. So really, it's funny because that was kind of like exactly what we needed at that time, to be honest with you, because she walked away and I rolled my eyes so hard. My eyes almost detached. My retinas almost detached and rolled back around 360 in my eyeballs a bunch, because it was fun. It's great. Like I said, it's one of those things where in a situation where you're like kind of stressed out, it's always nice when something happens and you and your partner can kind of like come together and just hate someone. I think we've talked about that before. We've talked about that on episodes before. It's the thing that helps relationships to keep you guys together, keeps love strong, is to have a common person that you hate. And in that moment, that phlebotomist was the person that we both hated, and it brought us together a little bit more. You're going to love this episode with Jackie Fabulous. Again, JackieFabulous.com, Jackie Fabulous on all of the socials, and our podcast is Relatable with Jackie Fabulous. You can catch that on all the, you know, wherever you get your podcast. So thank you so much again for listening. Dustin will be back next week. We'll have a full week of Mondays with Mel, and then a full episode and a full intro next week. So we haven't had a voicemail in a while, but if you guys call 619-292-8787, which I cannot believe I remember the phone number. I think I nailed it. 619-292-8787. Leave us a voicemail. Dustin will be back next week to do the intro, and we'll do some bad parenting advice. Now that I have two kids, and he has three kids, so we kind of like have it all the bases covered. You know, we got boys, we got girls, we got babies, we got teens, we got preemies, we got post-mies, we got everything. We got all the things covered. So if you have a question and you need some bad advice, you just let us know, or send us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. So thank you for putting up with me on my own these last two weeks. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Jackie, I forgot until you just showed up on my screen how legitimately happy I get when I see your face.
Oh, you gotta start out with tears.
Oh, you bring me a lot of joy. I don't find your on stage act very funny, but I sorry.
And guess who doesn't care?
Yeah, it's just not for me. But off, no. That's a very comedian compliment. Like I got uncomfortable with you enjoying my compliment that I had to make fun of you.
Okay. Remember, there was some TV show I was trying to get on, and the guy who was in charge, his response back was, "I'm not a fan." And I was like, I've never heard that direct, but you know what? F*** you. And yeah, keep it moving.
Jan at the Ice House, this was probably like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I went and did like the comedy time thing, you know? Uh-huh. And I was like 6 months into comedy. I was very, very new. And I remember emailing him, and I was like, hey, you know, I'd love to work the club. You know, the thing we do, try and stay in touch with bookers or whatever. And
he
told me, he goes, honestly, I wasn't that impressed. I have about a list of 400 to 500 comics ahead of you. And I was like, why do you gotta put a number on it?
What feedback is, I love Jan, we're still friends, but everyone knew that he was my manager for a very short period of time.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was the Ice House regular, and everyone would kind of know, like, talk to Jackie.
Yeah.
And everyone would come back to me like, Jackie, I didn't know Jan was so mean. and I'm like, Jan, your feedback is crushing people's dreams. You need to just say no or ghost them.
Yeah.
That's way less painful than some of the words you use.
Oh, that's a hot debate though. What from a booker, let's say pre-AGT booker, before, you know, what hurts more, the ghost, the non-response, or the no?
I think the no hurts me more.
Yeah,
the no, because that's them taking out the time to sit down and whether it's call you back or email you back to type out the words no thank you.
Whereas
being ghosted is my way of protecting my feelings, where I'm like, they clearly they're busy. They run it up.
And that's true. That is often true because sometimes, you know, who's that way is Keith at Wise Guys. Like, I'll not hear from him. I'll send him a bunch of emails.
Yeah.
Like, I'll send him a Vails every few weeks. And then out of the blue, he'll email me with a date that wasn't in my Vails.
They do that a lot because, in all honesty, I realize that a lot of these bookers or whoever, they don't read anything.
Yeah.
They just see your name and they're like, I'll get back to her. And then they hit you. I've gotten so many email back with, hey, I have this date available. I'm going to send you a very detailed list of when I can do this. Why did you decide to be like, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is what I got.
I looked at my calendar. I highlighted dates that were, you know, avails is short for availability, right?
A lot of them don't read it. And if they're the kind of booker that you're actually cool with, you may not be friends, but you're very cool.
Yeah.
They figure like, I saw your name and decided to hit you back, whatever I got.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's the bookers that you like text and sometimes you're like too close to them that you're like, hey man, why aren't you giving me a date? You know?
Sometimes you're so friendly, you can actually be like, what the f***? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Like you actually express concern.
Yeah.
Because you're like, when I was there, we hung out every day that I was there.
Exactly.
Don't you dare act like when I get back on an airplane, we're not over.
Yeah. You'll be like super, super tight and friends and text every other day. And you'd be like, hey, you think we could get that weekend on the books? And like, hey, I was thinking maybe you could do Tuesday, Christmas Eve.
Oh my God, it happened so much. Yeah. Jackie, we had a fallout the night after Thanksgiving. I'm like, I told you I was open in the spring. I don't know what is going on. Is it because I came to your house for dinner and I met your family? Well, you're like, forget your feelings.
Yeah, and now you're just that guy. You're just that comic that like, yeah, they're just around whenever I need them, you know?
Because we had drinks when I was there for the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, I'm like, we're cool now. I'll get back to you, or I may not.
You're, you know I love you. You're like the safe relationship that like they know you're there.
Yeah.
You know, like you can go out and you try and date the hot one or the crazy one.
Yeah.
You know, but they always know Justin and Jackie will always be there for me.
I'm the reliable, especially when I was living in LA and the clubs that were there. They're like, don't you live here? I'm like, yeah, girl, we'll get to you. Just relax.
Yeah, I would see your schedule and you'd be like, man, I don't got any dates. And then you'd be like, hey, I got 11 spots tonight.
That's because I get on a text or email and be like, hey, I have nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I get bored. And they're like, all right, okay, here you go.
Yeah, Jackie's playing at all the A clubs and is starting a new one tonight.
That really does come from emails and texting. Because I think, I don't even know when it goes from obscurity to respect.
Yeah.
But it's hard to figure out when, because I thought AGT was going to make me be the hottest commodity. It made me a very lukewarm commodity. Not hot. It made me very...
lukewarm commodity.
I became a commodity, but not hot. Very... You could drink me, but I'd rather you nuke me for 3 minutes
than
be actually hot.
Yeah, you're that level of commodity. Like, you took it out of the microwave, and you're like, I could eat it now, but I also could put it back in for another minute. You
exactly.
Know? It's got hot parts, but it might still be cold in the middle.
That cup of tea, we're like, I can drink it, but is it really hot tea? It's not hot.
It's not hot, but it's not iced. Not iced tea.
It's not iced tea at all. Don't you dare. How dare you? Don't insult me and call me iced tea.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. Yeah, so do you feel like you're the email where they're like, yeah, Jackie Fabulous, as opposed to like, oh man, Jackie Fab, we better hire some extra staff.
No, I'm definitely the girl. I'm the one that everybody is saying that. The whites, the blacks, the males, the females, the gays, they see my name and they go, girl, I'll get to you. That's why I'm her.
I think that I don't know that I can remember seeing my wife laugh harder than watching you at Comedy Magic. I think there was a particular a bit, if I remember correctly, about reverse cowgirling.
You know what's scary is that the other day I was in my head like, okay, I need to get back into the real world. Cause I've been performing a lot, but I've been playing around. I really haven't been headliner. Here we go. This is wit and good night. Right. I've been playing around.
Right.
And the other day I'm laying around like, I wonder what my old stuff was. And the reverse cowgirl is such a long, organized, put together bit for several months.
Yeah.
I cannot remember how I get into it. Yeah. I don't know where the punchline, where the audience, where I know they get like spit up their food or they choke a little bit. Yeah. I got to watch video. It's been that long since I've done that joke.
I've had a couple, cause I think I'm intermittent, you know, I'll not have anything. And then, because I'm at the level where I'm a fill-in guy right now, where like everyone's like, hey, you know, Brian Regan canceled.
That's an honor though, Brian Regan.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. But like I'm a total fill-in headline, and I'm content to be there. I always tell people, listen, my only goals, I had two goals in comedy, like when I start, to be a professional comic, like that this is, and then to play every city's A club. And then have about 80% of the people there to see me. And so I'm like 100% done with goal A. This is my job for now. We'll see how much longer COVID lasts. and then B, like I'm playing some of the good clubs, you know, so I'm working towards B. But what I was say, like I did Tacoma Comedy Club, and that was like I hadn't headlined in – I mean I had been barely doing comedy, but I hadn't done an hour in forever. And you know how the hour is, it has to be like sharp, like it's, and I was like, I would get in, and some of those people would see me perform, and I was like, I would get into a bit, and I like a couple times, I was like, does anyone remember how this joke ends? Just like, like, have you seen this before? Uh-huh. And there was one time I was doing a bit on marriage, and someone goes like, marriage is a marathon. I was like, that's right. That's the end of this bit. Now. But you're right, you gotta watch video and remember how to do this. Pete Holmes said, right, stand-up comedy is the only art form you can forget how to do it in a week.
Yeah, you know, but you know what it is, I don't forget the, I think we all have a natural gift to just get on any stage wherever and just talk,
right?
So that gift hasn't gone away. I can get on stage anywhere, I can ad-lib, I can play around,
right?
But if I want to do a set where I don't have to think very hard,
right,
and actually just do the set list, I'm gonna have to go study because I don't remember a lot of them.
What's more daunting as a comedian, to think about having to go study and re-memorize your old act or write new stuff and just let that stuff die?
I think studying is more annoying.
I agree. It's homework.
I've been enjoying the writing new stuff because I, in all these shows that I've been doing while we've been on quarantine, I've been using the people watching as open mics.
Right.
You know, occasionally I'll do like if I'll play around and I'll tune in and I'll see the screen of 100 people. I'm like, okay, maybe we should take this seriously. They actually want you to be a pro. Right. But if there's less people, like if there's under 20, I'm like, I'm gonna try out new stuff. And I just complain. If you complain about quarantine, you can almost not. It's impossible to not do well.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we all are complaining all day long in the bathroom with our mate. So you might as well come in the bathroom and tell us why it sucks.
We're just online all day complaining or reading about complaints. It's nice to see somebody complain.
Exactly. For pay, you know?
Right. So you're in New York, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you move? I just felt like all of a sudden Jackie was in New York. And she didn't text me. She didn't call.
I know. I had a lot of comic friends that were kind of like, I know we're not that close, but you could have, I don't know, heads up, small heads up.
Yeah. And you're like, no. Listen, comics don't know I live in San Diego. It's a big secret. So, you know, sometimes who cares? It doesn't matter where you live.
Exactly. But, I'll be there.
So this was post AGT?
This was, I legitimately left October 30th and November 1st, I was back in the home that I grew up in the Bronx.
Okay.
And the number one question I get is, you know, and thank God nobody died, because that's always kind of why people decide they have to go for family reasons. Everyone here is healthy. Yeah. I was feeling lonely and stagnant in my career and repetitious, but not in a good way. Like I all the goals that I had of being passed at the clubs in LA, I met them besides the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. And I was just going on doing sets, but it was just performing a lot and not growing as a comic. I wasn't writing stuff. I was kind of being predictable. This set'll work here, that set'll work there. Same lineups, because in LA, you know, the lineups kind of look the same. And now with Chris D'Elia gone, it might be a little bit more space.
They'll look the same at the same clubs that night. They'll just have different times.
Exactly. And I was getting in this rut of, you know, the Laugh Factory would want me. If they couldn't get me, it was Sherry Shepherd. Everything was the same. It was the same everywhere. And I just felt like I wasn't growing. I wasn't booking. I was going on auditions for monster jobs and not getting called back or anything.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm not going to quit. I'm never going to quit. But I'm like, but I have to make some sort of change.
Yeah.
And I had worked so hard and tried so hard and auditioned so much to get past at the Comedy Cellar in New York. I'm like, if I didn't have a comedy home in New York, I wouldn't have moved. Mm. Because I had it good in LA. I had a place. I had a home base. So the Cellar welcoming me and making me work so much there, they're the part of the reason why I'm like, if you do move back to New York, you're not leaving the community at all. You're actually moving to another comedy community, and you're like in one of the best clubs in the world, so you should be okay. So that really did help coddle me in the move.
Yeah.
I had to change it up. I just needed to change. Whatever it was, I just had to shake it up.
Yeah, I think that's true of a lot of not just comics, but people. Sometimes you just need to
go.
When my family moved from Seattle to San Diego like 9-10 years ago, it put us down a completely different path. And I don't know what it is. What do you think it is about it? Just the change of environment, just getting out of different ruts, or the challenge makes you kind of rise to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I was in a rut and it just felt like I was in my apartment in LA for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that also was I'm tired of my own walls. You know, I want to live someplace else. And knowing that I wasn't, to the outside looking in, they wouldn't look at me and think that I wasn't getting better.
Right.
And that actually bothered me. I want to be great. But right now I'm consistently good, but not innovative. I'm not trying new things. Mm. And then I'm like, if I move to New York and become a staple in that community, I have to be better than good.
Right.
And the Cellar is such a staple in the, who called it? I forget who called it. They call the Cellar the Harvard of stand-up comedy clubs. Mm. And if you're there, you have to be a certain level. And I knew that I would get better and take more risk and write more stuff.
Yeah.
If I perform there more. Because when I would go home for holiday visits and I would go there to either perform or watch, the comedians, every comedian on the lineup is tearing the paint off the walls. Everyone is annihilating.
Right.
Or you're kind of like, I got to get my shit together. I can't go up there with the same crap that I've been doing in LA.
Right.
Or I can, but I have to add to it. So I needed a challenge. I felt very complacent in LA and I wasn't getting better. I was just being consistent.
Hmm. And did you, but you had been passed by the Cellar before you moved out, so you knew that was kind of there waiting for you?
Yeah, I knew. I was passed probably 2 years before I moved out, but I wasn't living in New York, so a lot of my spots were at the Vegas location.
Right.
Vegas location is 14 shows, 7 days, but I knew when I moved to New York, and of course I checked with them. I'm like, hey guys, I'm moving back to New York.
Yeah.
Does that matter to anybody? You know? Yeah.
Is there any, anything? I mean.
Is there a chance I might be there more? And, you know, and they were kind of like, sure, come on down. You're cool. So, okay, good. And now I know when I go back, they'll use me.
I love it. Yeah. So you said you moved into the childhood home?
Yeah. My father passed away 3 years ago. So the home that I grew up in, my mom is in this big house by herself.
Okay.
And now it's my house also. So I moved back home to be, you know, I moved back home with a soul, because after AGT, I was touring for real, like every week.
For real, yeah.
You know, And the money was, of course, getting better and better. And I moved back home thinking, okay, now I don't have all the LA bills to pay anymore. I don't have a car anymore. The LA rent, even though I was able to make it, but it still felt like a big chunk out of a place that I was never in.
Right, you know,
and
right.
That also hurt me. So I'm like, I'm going to move back home and I'm going to pay off my student loans. I'm going to pay off my debt. I'm going to buy a house. I had all these move back home dreams because now I had less expenses.
Yeah.
And then, of course, COVID-19 was like, oh, you silly thing.
Oh, man.
You're so cute.
It was adorable. Yeah. I had on, I think it was supposed to be April 3rd. I had a showcase set up at the lab. I was doing my hour. We had a nice amount of potential buyers who were going to come just to watch.
The lab where?
At the Improv.
Okay.
You know, so we're just doing something in LA, something to invite people out, you know, not big, but I have enough fans there that it would be something.
Oh yeah. The lab is fantastic. I love it in there.
Yeah. And so I was like, and if they say no, that's fine. But I got a lot of dates coming up. That if they say no, then I'll just record it myself and then we'll see if they want to buy it again. And I'll put out the debut hour. I'm really excited about this material, but I also want to see it go. And then COVID was like, you're adorable.
When I tell you the way I really knew I was adorable, you know how I was getting around when I moved back? I was taking a Lyft everywhere.
Yeah.
Like you would have thought I had a car service. I was taking a Lyft everywhere. I wasn't getting on the train.
I was
dressing all very unrealistically. I was wearing heels everywhere, dressed up. And I go to the seller. They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm here. This is And then COVID is like, you're so cute.
Yeah.
You wasted a lot of money in high heels.
Yeah. All those nice clothes that we bought pre-COVID. We can't fit into those. Okay.
I bought so, if you saw this wall of boots.
The wall of boots is the funniest thing.
I'm coming back to New York. I'm like, I'm going to be in New York. I had boots in LA, but you don't really need heavy, cold clothing in LA. Even though, but then I'm like, I'm touring and every state's not going to be California weather.
No.
I'm going back to New York. So I loaded up on boots and cute sweaters and just all kind of winter clothing, fashionable as hell.
Yeah.
And the other day I put on a denim dress, you know, and denim dresses, any denim shirt, you know, male or female, it's a button, either a snap or a button.
Uh-huh.
And when I put them on now, these buttons are like, what are you attempting to do? Are you trying to make us touch each other? You're adorable. This fits you in March.
Yeah.
What the hell have you been eating?
Yeah. Everything. I've been eating everything.
Everything.
Yeah. The shows that I did up in Tacoma in June after three solid months of quarantining, I like brought my shirts up and I was like, well, you know, I usually wear flannel on stage and I was like, well, it looks like I'm going to be wearing an open flannel on stage.
I was about to say, that's an easy change.
Yeah, exactly.
The flannel's always like, but look, I have a cute graphic tee underneath.
Exactly. I got a nice little superhero tee.
With a cute message. And you're like, that wasn't your plan, Dustin, at all. Don't act like you had a plan or this is the outfit you wanted to wear. You didn't want to wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Open flannel, closed flannel is about the difference of 5 to 15 pounds, depending.
Anything that buttons in the front, if you lose 10, they're buttoning back.
Exactly.
If you lose 20, they're buttoning back loosely.
If Dustin's wearing a button-up flannel, he's feeling pretty good about himself. He's feeling good about the direction the LBs are going.
I'm eating right.
Yeah.
I'm not eating my feelings. When I can button stuff up, and you don't see my bra? Girl, are you working out? Yeah, because I can't see your underwear.
Yeah. What's the old Bergazzi joke where he says, like, my goals are just that you can't see my nipples through my shirt. That's the
those are really big goals to have. If you're a performer, you know how you look when you're clothed.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Yeah. You really do have to put that, because people, especially like, you know, like, you know, during your premises, right, and when you're setting up, people are just like, oh, he's wearing that. Or like when you first walk out, everyone's kind of giving you a,
they, okay. And if you're a girl, they're looking at, they just take a long time to do the full body scan.
Yeah. Yeah. When do you feel like they start listening? When
if
do you
they don't start listening, I'll address it, or they'll start listening when I get up, when I'm past the whole your town jokes.
Yeah.
When I get past
the whole,
I see you guys have a billboard for cremation, $48. How do you know exactly? No, I went to some state. They had a gigantic billboard that said body cremation. Cremation, $48.86.
Yeah.
And I was like, and how did you guys come to that number? Like, what if I only want, what if I'm like, I only have 43?
Yeah.
Do I not get the arm? you get the arm back in a case? Once I get past the hometown jokes,
yeah.
Then they're like, okay, now she's going to be here for a while. We'll stop looking at her shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's hilarious. God, I love hometown jokes. I love listening to them. I love telling them. One of the masters at it is, I think you know Zoltan Kassis. He'd be up at Comedy and Magic a lot. Zoltan would do a joke. We were doing up Tri-Cities, Washington. You know, like there's this old, I don't even want to call it a club. Jokers. It's a treble run, you know?
Oh, yes, I've done Jokers.
Jokers is the best comedy club / casino / bowling alley I've ever played.
When it's full, it's fun.
It is fun. Yeah, but it's not a club. It's just the side room of a casino that they put some tables out in and a stage, you know? But yeah, so much of a club is just based on what the people are like in that area. And Tri-Cities are wonderful people. So
yeah,
we go out and we went to like a farmer's market that day. And then later that night, he did a bit about how it was all white people working the farmer's market. And he's like, so apparently it's just a lot of management here. And I just remember like, and it's just like, I think of like, those are like bits get stuck in my head, but local bits like that, that anytime somebody brings up Tri-Cities or a farmer's market, I'm like, that's great. And now every time I see a cremation thing, I'm going to think of your joke. How'd you land on that number?
And they put that number in the biggest font, $48.80.
Yeah. What's
interesting? I'm like, that's a really arbitrary, I want to see the itemization of how you come to this number.
I think it's interesting that a cremation is the same cost regardless of the size of the person.
I had questions.
Yeah, that you would think that it would require more, what do they use, sulfur material, you know, a bigger gurney, whatever it takes.
And let me tell you, the easiest joke I've done, because I've seen them so many places in whatever, the Midwest or red states, wherever.
Yeah.
The gas station / convenience store called Come and Go.
Yeah.
You've seen those? And go. And I'm like thinking, this can't be. I'm not the first. There's no way.
There's no way.
I'm like, there's no way.
You know what? Stage,
every show. And I'm like, first of all, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Yeah. I heard you were a Christian state and your number one grocery stop is Come and Go. And they laugh like you've never heard a joke in your life. I'm like, that was so easy. This job can be very easy at times.
Dude, sometimes your local stuff is crushing so hard.
Like, yes.
You're like, oh no, I gotta get back into my dumb act.
They wanna hear me rag and roast them for
they wanna
an
hear
hour,
me do
that's not what I came here for.
They wanna hear me do 50 minutes on Toledo.
I'm looking forward to ending these hometown jokes because I'm getting tired of them in my head. I'm like, I don't wanna do any more of these. You get three.
Yeah.
And then it's about me, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, back when I was doing those tours with John Crist, like we would do these videos where the format of the show is there would be an opener. And then earlier in the day, John and I would like go around the city and we would put up a little camera.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch those.
Yeah. And we would just roast the city. It was called Tour the City. And I would hate how well they were doing because I had to go next. I was burying myself with 10 to 15 minutes of local humor. And now I'm just like, okay, so I got kids, you know?
Hey, like, you guys know I didn't come here to talk about you, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I got an airplane to talk about me.
Exactly. That's 100% accurate. So, well, how's life with, you say you're living with mom? How are things there? Is everything good? Is relationships good, strong there?
It's not, you know what it is? We're acquaintances. We don't really know each other.
Really?
I realize She never knew me. But also, let me just preface this with, she doesn't care. You know, when you're a woman of a certain age and you take care of a house, she cares even less now than when she did when I lived here. Like, my parenting style, my parents' parenting style was ignoring. And that's a lot of people. You put your kid in front of the television, make sure they're fed and have clothing, and they did their job. So
they're lifeguards. That's what they're there in case of an emergency.
Yes. Yeah. Don't set any fires. Don't touch fire until I think you're able to. I'm way too old to be like, well, they don't understand me. I'm like, Jackie, you're half dead yourself. Just live there and, you know, give her the money you give her. You know, look at your wall of boots and then hopefully move out, get your own place. Because really all that matters when you're older and they're older is that they're healthy.
Yeah.
All you care about is, please, does nobody be fatally ill? That's all I ask.
Yeah, my dad lives with us 9 months out of the year, and it's the same thing. It's just like, hey, everybody's healthy, no surgeries, no illness, you know? You're not drinking too much, you know?
Just check in.
Everybody okay? Okay.
Because I remember I came home one time before I moved back. I never did this on stage because, you know, sometimes it's not funny to you until time passes.
Yeah.
She came home and my father was alive and he was like, take your mom to the eye doctor. And I'm like, of course. And I'm like, please ask me to do more. Because they're so used to doing them all themselves.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys know that I can drive. I've been driving for decades. Please, if I'm in my bedroom watching House Hunters, I'm not busy.
What do they think you're in there writing or like?
Novel. I'm like, no, I'm waiting until 8 so I can get the hell out of here and go perform. So she had me take her to the eye doctor to pick up a prescription. And then she's like, I'm going to go in the back. We got there and she went in the back and she had one cataract from one eye removed. She went there for a follow-up. And then I found out when she got there, she's like, oh, they're going to remove the other one while I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm like, we came here for surgery? I said, I thought you came here to pick up a prescription and to just have it looked at. And then I get there and she's gone for 3 hours and I'm in a waiting area. Like, why wouldn't you tell me that I'm taking you to go get surgery
today? Yeah.
As opposed to just running a quick errand. But that's the way they are. They don't tell you anything until, God forbid, it's too late.
Yeah.
Or they're like, they're like, I can do it myself. And I'm like, you have one leg. And they don't. But I'm like, tell me when things are. Now when I go to the doctor, I have to be like, so what did the doctor say?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm good. I'm like, no, I want to see the paperwork. I want to see the paperwork. I have to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's the opposite. And that he'll be like, he'll ask for enough and then some. He'd be like, can you drive me to this procedure? And then while I'm gone, could you go back home and then figure out the Apple TV situation that I broke? Like, I'm doing tech support, chauffeur, I'm doing it all. And then also, could you drive me home and then go back and pick up my meds? And I'm like, we're not leaving without those meds. We're not. I'm going to get my own meds while we're
here. While I'm here, hey, Doc.
Yeah. I imagine after your pops passed 3 years ago that it was your mom was grateful to have you come back, though? Or was that part of the motivation? Or
well, I didn't move back for 3 years, so clearly.
Yeah.
Whatever I was feeling, it wasn't remorse. It was more indifference. Like, she's fine.
Is she happy to have you there?
I think she is. She's never said it. She never will. But I'm pretty sure everyone... Yeah, I think more of my family probably feels more ashamed of me. Like, with that kind of sarcasm, like, we're glad you came back.
Yeah. Why won't our parents verbally encourage us? Why?
I don't know. Instead, I get a snarky, like, oh, you decided to come back to be with your mother
and I mean,
empty house. I'm like, well, yeah, I wasn't ready before. I'm ready now. But I like your tone.
I would be so much happier, but I wouldn't be a stand-up comedian, but I would be happier if I would have gotten a few more I'm proud of yous and I love you and I'm, you know.
Nothing. None of that.
So I just got to go do this nonsense.
I know? Get the validation from rooms full of strangers. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, exactly. These are the these are the hugs I didn't get. These little verbal hugs. Just
that's a perfect special name. The hugs I didn't get.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be like, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Is that a special or is that a TED Talk? I don't know. It's
that, I would watch that TED Talk, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd watch that stand-up special. So, do you? So it's you and Mom there in New York. Overall, though, it's like things you feel pretty happy with the state of things, all things considered, or
yeah. My mom and my mom's sister, my aunt, there's a apartment downstairs. She lives down there.
Yeah,
and you know, it's just a realization that everybody's old, you know, and not before you could say older, but at some point it goes from older to just no, just take off the ER, Jack.
She's just old.
It's just old. I know you're trying to be respectful, but, you know, maybe not to their face, but behind their back. Just call them. It's old.
That goes the other way, too. Like, if describing someone as young or younger, you'd be like, ooh. Like, it's amazing when you're like, oh, she's young. Okay. And you'd be like, she's on the younger side. I'm like, what are you? What are you trying to hide?
Like, if you had a guy friend say, hey, I met a girl and I'm really vibing with her. And you're like, cool. How old is she? She's on the younger side. You'd be like, dude.
Just say young. Okay. I mean, I don't, it's creepy to me, but young girl, what are you hiding? Well, I appreciate you doing this, JFab. I hope that we can be in the same physical space sometime in 2025.
You think we will? I remember I was supposed to headline Comedy and Magic Club next month, and I just text Richard when California shut down again. And he's like, you know, I don't see it happening.
Richie and I have been texting a bit, too, and he said, like, and I agree with him that it hurts so bad for the government to deem you non-essential. Like, it's just a sting of a phrase. Like, oh, yikes. I mean, I knew it.
Yeah.
But I didn't need you to tell me that. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm planning a little backyard tour, and I've got some Northeast dates. So, I might just have to roll through and say hi from 10 feet away.
Yeah. I know. But the sad thing about this all is, like, I'm assuming because Comedy and Magic Club, they weren't a cheap place to go visit for patrons, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be the reason why they can stay open for a little while. But
yeah,
there are clubs that we know for sure. There's no way.
I know. We'll always have Zoom calls, though. This is all we get.
Some of these clubs out there in America, they had to close the day COVID was announced.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They had no chance. They had no chance.
We don't have any. Your check barely cleared, Jack.
Yeah.
Like I've had club owners call me, like, are you still holding that check? I'm like, yeah, I figured that. They're like, no, you need to cash it.
Yeah. Jackie, my Zoom's about to cut you off because I ran two meetings, one to the other, and I don't pay for the extra one, but I think that but in my defense, you came on early. So this is all we got. You're the best.
Okay. All right. Love you, Dustin.
Love you too. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.